welcome to the F1 show. We've got a fantastic panel for you to discuss the week's goings on in F1 at the British Grand Prix. Huzzah, Britain, we love it. However, it wasn't the most scintillating Grand Prix of the season, it has to be said. Joining me, brilliant panel. First time we've all been together this season, I think. Mr. Tony Blunt, top left, how you doing, pal?
Hello, I'm doing fine, thanks. And you?
Yeah, I'm good. Have you recovered since the bath?
I think just about. My liver isn't thanking me, but, you know.
If anyone's watching and it keeps going white and there's flashes of white across the screen and that kind of thing, I'm awfully sorry, but I've got no idea why it's doing it. It's just something to do with chroma key and the fact that we ripped the studio to pieces and then put it back together today and expected it to just work. And, of course, it wasn't going to work, was it? No, no. Next to him, Mr. Steve Neighbour. Chairman of the
Hello, sir. Group. How are you?
I'm good. I'm recovered. I'm fine.
Good.
I've had red wine. It's my son's birthday, and we've had my parents round, and it's been very pleasant, it has to be said.
And many happy That's returns awesome. To him.
Yeah, Alice is 9 years old.
Wow. Yeah. We should have got together, you know.
Really? Why?
My little girl's six tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
So,
oh, wow.
Yes. Yeah, so there are those cards where you get the six on the badge.
Nine. There we go. Yeah. We could
swap. I could have sent it over to you, turned it upside down. He could have used it today and then send it back and I could use it tomorrow.
Providing I spent special delivery by lunchtime.
Well, I suppose that would ruin out the price of the card, wouldn't it, really? That's a rubbish idea. Sorry, I didn't even suggest it.
No, it's okay. Special delivery is brilliant. So, did you enjoy the Grand Prix, sir?
I did really enjoy the Grand Prix.
You didn't? You fell asleep. Yeah, exactly.
I did.
Beneath him, we've got Sarah Gray calling in from Ireland.
Hello.
How you doing, girl? Good flight back after the bash.
Yes, just to complete the set. It's my mum's birthday tomorrow, so...
Oh, that's 9, 10, 11.
Sorry, not tomorrow, the day after.
Oh, so there we go.
That's three in a row.
11, 12, 13, we love that to
bits. Indeed, yes.
Excellent. And last but by no means least, Mr. Christopher Woods.
I'm always last.
But by no means least.
Driving for HRT this season or something.
No, because you're starting nearly every show.
Yeah, that can't be true. Because you didn't start the last one. That's true. The week in F1. It's been a hell of a week. First of all, I'm sure we're all going to send our wishes to Maria Divolotta. She was driving for My Russia, and I don't know what happened. She was doing a straight line aero test, which I've got no idea what that is, but there was a power surge and she drove into the back of a truck. Unfortunately, Maria's lost her right eye, but apparently, as well, according to... I spoke to my rushers today and asked them what was going on, and Alyssa there said that there was no more official updates. But there's been an update come out at 8 o'clock this evening that says that Maria's doing remarkably well. So, well done to her. She's been in the neurological care unit at Cambridge Addenbrookes Hospital, and she has lost her eye, but the rest of us are doing really, really well. Yeah. So, well done, Maria.
That's good.
Get well.
Does anyone know what actually happened there? Because all I've got so far is that it's a straight line aero test, but someone was talking about the fact that it was a sudden surge and she just drove straight back into the back of the truck.
Yeah, it was something to do with that. I think she was trying to brake because it was near the end of this straight where they were holding this test. But there's also debate about whether the team truck should have been, you know, also in the position they were in, the sort of right on the area where they'd normally be racing, you know, racing by at sort of full speed.
Mm.
So it's not entirely clear yet. But.
I think there were some probably lapses in health and safety. What we do know about Formula One engines is that there is no physical connection between the pedal and the engine. It's all fly-by-wire now. Mm. I've heard it described as a throttle event request when you put your foot down. So chances are if there's been something wrong with the EMS, it could have misinterpreted a signal or just shorted out or something. We don't know, especially if they were testing a new component.
Yeah, it was an upgrade, wasn't it, they were testing.
You know, she may have had her foot off the accelerator and it just decided to speed up. I mean, you know.
Yeah, I mean...
It happens. And it's just, it's freak that, unfortunately, this thing was in the way. The low loader that the cars are taken to the tracks on and just... I mean, it's terrible.
I've had the very fortunate benefit of visiting Marussia a couple of weeks ago, and the only thing I can say is that they are meticulous over that kind of stuff. You know, I mean, the engine components are all built virtually in 3D printers, and they put it together so that they don't waste any effort or money in building the thing in the first place. You know, they go through immense detail to try and look at what happens and what doesn't happen. And I know there's a lot of issues around machinery, especially fly-by-wire stuff with EMC, magnetic circuitry, that causes interference loops and that kind of stuff. But I mean, they take an awful lot of effort over shielding and things like that. So, I mean, I can't believe that this is anything, just like you say, a freak accident, Chris.
Well, we know as well that a lot of the components in the cars are common components. McLaren designed and produced a black box to FIA standards. And you just don't know. People have been talking about variations in the tyres of same batches and same softness as this season. So if the tyres aren't even the same from batch to batch, then who knows? Electrical things are very fickle. Especially with the weather we've been having. You never know, do you? A bit of rain.
Well,
in the circuitry.
There's a lot of moisture around as well, which could do a lot of problems. I mean, we've had the bash last week. We had a great guy, Nicky, turn up with his own Segway that he built, and he confessed to the fact that he got water in it when he was doing testing on it, and ended up doing donuts in the middle of the street because it's because of the short circuiting. So water getting in the wrong places, that kind of stuff, can cause all of these kind of issues. But anyway, she's alive and well, which is the main thing.
Yeah, and recovering. You know, the updates we do here each time is that her condition is improving, which is good.
Yeah, I mean, the good thing is that's the beauty of F1 people now, is that they're athletes, aren't they? So, I mean, you know, that health and well-being has to pay dividends in recovery periods and stuff like that. So get well soon, Maria. We're all thinking of you because you're part of our team as well.
Yeah, get well.
Get back in the car. The week in F1. Holy hell. It's the British Grand Prix. And I've got to say, I could well be locked up in the tower for saying this, but I saw more passing during the Queen's River pageant than I saw during the F1 Grand Prix this week.
Done by that swimmer.
What a pile of crap. Yeah, exactly. I think the Oxford-Cambridge boat race held more, definitely. I was bored to tears. Why? Why was I bored to tears, everyone? Come on.
I'm confused on that one myself, because it should have been a good race. You know, they've got this new, you know, what, second or third year with this new Silverstone layout that's supposed to promote more overtaking, more action. It just doesn't feel like it's been delivering on that. But, you know, weather conditions couldn't play into it. They did on the Saturday and Friday, but not on Sunday. It was quite odd.
Yeah.
I can't believe they escaped the rain. It rains every hour at the moment. I'm just getting sick of it. And the whole boring race in the world, and it needs a bit of rain. Working in a country that, you know, it's raining every hour, and it doesn't rain. That would have been a bit exciting.
They found the only 2 hours in the summer where it hasn't rained all summer, you know, during that time.
I feel sorry for all these people coming over to the Olympics. They see Silverstone and think, oh, look, the weather looks great. We laugh at them when they get out of the airport.
Even Wimbledon got interrupted by rain, you know, even on final day.
So, blame the loss of Murray on the, doesn't win in a roof. He was winning up to the roof came on. Anyway.
Sounds like sour grapes.
Why was Silverstone so crap? Because, I mean, it's got Becketts and Copse and all that area that's super fast. You know, I mean, I think it really suffered from double DRS. It really needed double DRS on this place. The single DRS, and it was a short DRS as well, relatively, wasn't it?
It was a short one, because they even mentioned that in the commentary. But even though it was along the same area, it was still, you know, a lot shorter actual DRS zone, which, all right, yeah, it gave maybe a few potential moments, but nothing that really came to pass.
Anyone else got any thoughts?
Okay, excuse number one. Because it rained through free practice and quali, there was no rubber on the track. So cars that would normally benefit from having the existing rubber laid down couldn't get much purchase, so we didn't see as many overtakes out of corners because they're sliding around as much as the slower paced teams, and there was a lot of sideways action.
Yeah, I think there was a bit of pit radio quite early on with Lewis saying, you know, he just couldn't stay with the car in front, and it was a Williams of all things.
Yeah, McLaren expected to do well this weekend. They thought they had a car that worked well around the track, and as much was said, and they dramatically underperformed. So whether they were coming with expectations based upon past telemetry, and that was all obliterated with the rain, we don't know. They wouldn't tell us. But it is a shame.
What's happened to Mr. Button? Because I mean, he's been consistently outperformed this year. Yeah, apart from race one, he's been consistently outperformed by Lewis. Lewis is a happy boy. He knows where he's going. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
He hasn't done very well this week, but Lewis is just Jensen rather. He's just nowhere. I mean, he's not even close.
It's not even just that Lewis has outperformed Jensen. Jensen is just having a really rough time at the moment. And there's something going on with him with that car, and I don't know what it is. But, I heard a report saying that he was calling in the fitness, about issues about his fitness. And I'm thinking, well, he's probably one of the most fittest drivers on the grid. I don't think that's the issue. Yeah. There's something to do with where he just isn't connecting with that car, and I don't know what it is, whether it's McLaren or
I've got to say
or what, but
yeah, I've got to say that the only point that Steve Naber woke up during qualifying was when he realised that Jensen wasn't going to make Q2.
I wasn't asleep.
Oh, we got pictures, dude.
Have you?
Yeah, we got pictures.
Witnesses and photographic evidence.
We got pictures of people assembled with their fingers pretending to put them up your nose, mate. It's you were gone.
But, yeah.
This is the day
after drawing things on your face, okay?
This is the day after the bash. It was a little bit heavy the night before.
You did the big show with 3 pints of mead inside you, I think, in halves.
I managed to stand up this time, which was good.
Yes.
Yeah, no. I how long did qualifying go on for? It was about half an hour, wasn't it?
Yeah, no, 20 seconds for you.
Yeah, well, I opened my eyes, it started, closed them, finished,
disappeared.
You sort of muttered Alonso in your seat.
Christian Horner's happy because Mr. Webber is sticking around. He's resisted the allure of Ferrari, it would seem. If you're Massa, you've got to start thinking, hang on, there's no way that if they're talking to Webber, there's two drivers, Alonso's top of the drivers' championship. I wonder who's going.
If Webber says yes. Rumour who was going from Red Bull.
I can tell you now, it's not Massa, and I know why.
Go on.
Because Alonso has basically said as much on his Twitter feed.
So you're suggesting Alonso's going?
No. Ferrari is staying as they are for next season.
Yeah, because Webber didn't say yes.
No. This was before Webber signed the extra year.
Right.
Alonso has been hinting that Massa is staying at Ferrari for next season.
Well, Massa's done pretty well the last few weeks, hasn't he? I mean, he's qualified very well for Silverstone, and he's performed okay during the GP.
Yeah, I mean, he was my... I know it shows how bad the race is, but and no disrespect to Felipe, but he was actually my driver of the day for the race, for the Grand Prix. Because he had the best race of the season for him this year.
Yeah, his best race of the season. Yeah, it was in the middle of that.
But there is somebody rumoured to be leaving Red Bull.
Which is?
It may not be Webber going over to Ferrari. It may not be Fingerboy.
Hey? Oh, as in Vettel. Yeah.
Who is it then?
Vettel the Finger.
Test driver.
Christian Horner. Last name doesn't rhyme with Huey, does it?
Christian Horner is a... Christian Horner was rumoured in The Guardian to be in talks to replace Bernie Eccleston.
What? Who's Bernie Eccleston driving for this year then? Have I missed something?
The average age of the F1 drivers has just gone up if Bernie's going to start driving.
Yeah, no.
You thought Schumacher was old.
In fact, Bernie's driving for Stana next year.
Yeah, it's the new team. It's the, 13th team?
Yeah, Stana Stairlifts and Thora Herd's in the number one seat. Even though she's been dead for 3 years.
Look, I've done a bit of research. I've got the story. All I do is present it, and you take the mick out of it.
So, Bernie's going to release his grip on FIM and give it to Christian Horner.
That's what the media say.
I can't.
And it's got to be true. It's in the black and white.
If it's in the Telegraph, it must be true. I absolutely agree.
But the Guardian.
The Guardian. Well, I mean, Guardian. There you go. If you just said Telegraph, I'd have gone with you. But no,
not I think it was a quiet week. But I thought it was an interesting story because somebody's got to replace the old ringmaster, haven't they? At some point. What is he about 142 at the moment?
It's pretty
well,
much.
Got John Todd of the FIA. Why not?
He's got the Jedi Knights to get back to.
Oh, Bernie Eccleston is, what's his face? The guy with the lightning out of the fingers.
Palpatine.
Darth Sidious.
Darth Sidious. There we go. Yeah.
When he puts his hood on.
Bernie Eccleston is Darth Sidious, but with round rimmed glasses.
This would actually be interesting because if he decided to step down and appoint someone else, would he be able to? Now, Bernie, we know, is canny because he's like that. He's shrewd. But
I mean, who is Darth Vader?
That's right, yeah.
Christian Horner's Darth Vader.
I always thought of more of a Mr. Burns from The Simpsons. So, you know, he'd be replacing with a Smithers. That's probably more fitting for Horner.
That's true.
Does Bernie still have a majority control of FOM and FOG and FOA? Because he's been selling shares in those companies presumably to fund his daughter's shoe habits.
Yeah, he owns 30%.
It's at all.
Not a lot.
It's not a controlling interest, isn't it?
30%.
Not a majority, but it's enough to actually keep him as running it.
It's not a controlling
compared to the other shareholders. I mean, because they're all like 5%, maybe up to 10%.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. No, that is not a controlling interest. So,
however, I can't remember the name of the organisation, but there's an organisation that is buying more and more stock in FOM.
Matterland. Yeah.
No, I read a report about it.
The 14th team on the grid next year.
And it's a company. I think it's a company that are interested.
CBC, isn't it?
It could be actually. Canadian Broadcasting?
I don't know what they're doing, but they just love it. They've already put a massive tranche of money into FOM back in 2008. He promised them almost £300 million. Over 3 years, as long as all the teams renewed the Concorde Agreement, which is coming to an end soon, isn't it?
Indeed.
So there's a lot of change coming soon, especially we've got the engine downsizings and things. Yeah. So Bernie may not be very popular.
Yeah, I mean, one of the other changes rumoured, outside of the regs, is actually more races because the current Concorde Agreement limits it to 20, and they want to try and get more on the calendar.
I know the concern is there that I think it was Christian Horner said at the end of last season that he felt that the teams were about the limit that they could cope with having one team with one group of people in each team. If they started expanding it anymore, then they would need to have multiple teams, groups for each team so that they could share the load.
Yeah, it'd have to be like what they do with NASCAR, you know, when they seem to have a race pretty much every week of the year.
Well, if you look at the typical annual budget, though, I mean, that's kind of disingenuous to a certain degree because, I mean, Marussia is existing on $60 million per annum as a total annual turnover budget. Red Bull's existing on about $230
million. Yeah, but this is the thing. It's going to make it more expensive for the teams to compete if they want to do that.
Well, there's a cap, though, coming, isn't there? I mean, next year after next, there's a cap. That's it. There'll be a cap at $80 million and that'll be it.
Yeah, but if they do agree that they need to have more than one set of people for each team, then they'll have to increase that.
No. I mean, as far as I understand it, from the rules as they are planned at the moment, by 2014, there will be a cap at 60 to 80 million, and that'll be it.
I think we'll see a lot of technology teams springing up in adjacent warehouses. Red Bull already have one of those. If you go onto the trading estate where Red Bull Racing's based, they have Red Bull Technologies. And I suspect they do a lot of unbudgeted development there, which they didn't
R&D,
or license over. McLaren.
It's not quite that simple because, as well, if you look at the server time that your company owns and the development costs are going associated with the server time, monitored terribly. Marussia has 70 teraflops of server data that they can manipulate, but they're only limited to 40 teraflops and they have to have it declared. It's a very, very stringent process. I mean, I was fortunate enough to look down at the gearboxes and the engines, and, you know, there's tamper tags on all the gearboxes, tamper tags on all the engines. They know exactly who they are. They're all barcoded. you know, it's very, very difficult to start screwing around with the system to try and gain advantage. And I think that, I mean, it's interesting as well for me, because the whole way through the My Russia Tour, they were saying that 2014 in the Russian Grand Prix is their goal to hit podium. And they don't care about winning, they just want to hit podium at that point. Mm. And I'm sitting looking at them at the moment and thinking, well, there isn't a race this year that you're looking like you're going to be at the top, into the top 20. So you're banking on something else happening, and I think it's the turnover cap. I think the turnover cap, because they've existed so long in that region of 60 million turnover, I think they're going to look at that as being their main advantage going forward once that kicks in.
So we've got 4 seasons of terribly performing F1 cars to look forward to in the future.
Yeah, I mean, they're talking about 1.6 litre engines only as well, instead of...
With a turbo
really
to make
competitive,
up,
though.
Flipping heck, they might as well just replace them with City Rovers and be done with it.
I think we should follow the F1 mode, the Top Gear mode, and just get Kia Seeds in or whatever it is.
C'apostrophe D's.
C'apostrophe D's,
I bet you a Top Gear budget could afford a £80 million car. They could have a Top Gear version of a Formula One car running around.
Or
they could do the guest cars that Lotus had around at Silverstone this weekend, the Batman Tumblers. Have a couple of them racing.
Wouldn't that be cool, eh?
That'd be a bit cheaper, I think.
Not.
Do you want some stats?
Give me some stats, Steve.
Formula One, £7.5 billion company per year.
Yeah.
Bernie does own, his family trust owns 30%. The other 70% is CVC Capital Partners Funds.
Of which he's a director?
I can't see that.
Got to be.
I don't think it is.
Oh, right.
That's what I was saying. The percentage has been changing because CVC have been buying blocks of stock from the various people that own it over the last few years.
And then the other interesting thing on this is payments to the teams are determined by whatever the Concorde Agreement is. Which gives the teams 50% of the television money and the Constructors Championship order and awards prize funds to the teams based on their results, which is drawn from the fees Grand Prix promoters pay for staging the races.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the whole process, the one thing you've got to realise is that Bernie's controlling a lot, because Bernie provides the planes. The planes are £50 a kilo. And you can't use any other planes. You've got to use Bernie's planes and all that kind of stuff. So it's
the logistics of moving equipment and personnel from each race is handled by FOM, which provides the teams with a set amount of transport for the races outside of Europe.
Yeah, very good. Very good.
There you go. There's some stats for you.
Thank you, mate. Jolly good.
No worries.
Jolly good. Now, last week we spoke about, or the last time we spoke about the fact that the Sky team has got Alex Stewart working for them as a cameraman, because he's obviously fallen on hard times. Now he's no longer England captain and scoring any runs. One thing that really shocked me was the fact that actually they've now got Johnny Vegas and Melinda Messenger working for them as well as.
No.
Yes, serious. Here we go.
Oh, well.
Melinda Messenger's got flat-chested a little bit, it has to be said, but... relatively flat-chested compared to what she used to be. But Johnny Vegas isn't.
No.
No.
Yeah, Johnny Vegas has gone the other way.
Yeah.
There's a very happy man looking at Melinda.
He looks like Patrick Head, actually, in sunglasses.
Patrick Head? No, he's thin. He was Buffy, wasn't he? The professor in Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
No, he's the co-owner of Williams.
Natalie Head.
No. Patrick Head.
Patrick Head was the, wasn't he the guy in Buffy the Vampire Slayer? Or was that Tony Head?
No, that was Anthony Stewart Head.
Anthony Stewart Head. I'm sorry about his middle name, Tone. God, blimey. God forbid I make a mistake in future. There we go. Anyway. Just thought that was fun.
Well, I think Sky have hoovered up every single production member they can possibly find.
They have. We'll find
loads of people.
We'll find some more. Don't worry. It was wet this weekend. There's a picture of Quali. Steve, you won't remember this, and that's Alonso following Jensen. Was it? Or was that
Lewis?
Lewis.
Got the
Lewis.
Yellow on the top. Got the yellow. Helmet.
And there's Alonso himself with a big plume coming out the back. Slightly drier. There we go. There's a bit of what's his face? Can't remember his name. The bloke that Anyway.
Is that the chin?
That's the chin. And I've got to say, I didn't like their new Weber. There we go. Thank you. I didn't like their new...
paint job.
Yeah, pay 20 quid and you can have a picture on the F1 car. I'd want a bit more than a dot. I mean, that's like one pixel there on that.
And I think it might cost you a bit more than 20 quid, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Well, you got a bit of a stiff photo, though, did you?
15 euros per person.
And was it wet? Yeah. Oh, yes. It was seriously wet. And I just want to clear up for any of the foreign listeners that are listening or watching, we do have concrete in the UK. They just don't have any of it at Silverstone, apart from on the track.
Yeah, they have a little more since the last time they had a mud bath in over the weekend.
And best of all was if you went off the track, you were in real pub. That's Kovalainen's getting through, I think it's probably a Shell logo. And it was real wet. I mean, qualifying...
From what I understand...
Go ahead.
From what I understand from quali, I think that was Jensen's problem, wasn't it?
Well, I mean, quali was kind of... I mean, I'm glad they suspended it, to be honest. I mean, one of the real issues that they had was the BBC were desperate to finish on time, so they had Jordan saying, I think they should get out there regardless of the conditions. But, I mean, you looked at the safety car and the medical car going around. I mean, there was clearly water that was inches thick across the main parts of the track, across the racing line, and there was no way on God's green earth they should have gone out. I agreed entirely with the suspension.
When the safety car is struggling for grip, you know that's a problem.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But the TV were just—they didn't give a toss. They just wanted to make sure they finished on time, and that was the end of it.
Well, the BBC were worried about ladies' singles final, I think.
Oh, of course, it ran over the ladies' single file. There we go.
Yeah. It did remind me of was it Brazil a couple of years ago where they had the same problem? They had like qualifying actually lasted 3 hours.
Mm. And they didn't want to go over.
Same problem, wet weather.
Absolutely. Any highlights from qualifying? I thought it was pretty mundane, to be honest. I mean, they did okay. Very slow times for qualifying. Yeah. Alonso did well to get pole. Webber did well to get second. I mean, all of the real fun stuff was. I mean, the other thing is as well is when they qualified in wet, don't you think they should start in wet?
What do you mean?
What you mean? Dash into the pits? What?
In tyres, yeah. I thought that would have been so cool.
They would totally destroy those tyres on a dry track.
Who cares?
Just on one lap.
On the parade
See,
lap.
This is the point. You look at what's gone on so far this season. I look at F1 and I'm enjoying F1. I looked at the Grand Prix this weekend and it was boring as hell. It was like watching porridge boil. I mean, it really was pointless. I hated it. I fell asleep during it. I couldn't be bothered to be a stay awake. And Steve, you didn't lose anything in qualifying either by sleeping through it.
I remember one thing.
Go on.
The button lap where he had on quali one, and he had to get a good lap in before he then dropped out.
Yeah,
and he was on time, but it was a car parked up on
the last
corner that he got a yellow pulled out of him. So that was quite exciting.
Yeah,
and that woke me up.
Okay. But apart from that, it was all fairly mundane. The whole weekend was fairly mundane, no?
Mm.
Chris, I mean, you're very quiet here, mate. Have you got any saving facts or?
Well, Button said, didn't he, afterwards, that he was on target, his deltas and everything showed that he was on target until the yellow flag to actually have the best lap of the session. So there we go. What could have been? You never know.
But I'm sure they would have all said
that. You get what you get.
But that wasn't that the thing after the race as well? Even he was saying... You know, he just doesn't know what it was because he was doing the best he could in the, you know, he felt it was the best he could get out of the car as well. So he didn't feel like he was making any mistakes that would have massively affected the times.
Mm. Yeah, it was a very, very weird weekend. Mark, the advantage of the BBC coverage is that they, from the beginning of the season, have had Mark Webber writing columns. So that was appropriate timing. And he wrote a column, which was published today. At 1:03. And in it, he wrote that it was a very unusual weekend for the season because where normally it's down to mechanical grip, balance was more important this weekend. So if McLaren had banked on the, you know, just having good grip, and high, you know, high downforce.
Yeah, I mean, there's an interesting article this weekend as well, while we're talking about that very issue, from Mark Hughes saying on Sky Sports, saying that, you know, maybe McLaren are trying too hard to be too good. They're not looking for the essence of setting the car up so it will actually physically go around the track and let the drivers choose what they want. They're searching for perfection that's just unattainable.
But it comes back to the tyres again, doesn't it, to an extent, because Jensen's characteristically smooth driving style. He can be aggressive, but you don't change your stripes overnight. Jensen is a smoother driver than Lewis, and I think Lewis just manages to keep heat in these tyres in these colder conditions.
I was just about to say, you know, they've got two drivers with such different styles.
That's right.
You know, it's pointless trying to cater, you know, just find a middle point that suits both. Yeah. Because they seem to hit either one or the other.
And they may have fallen into the trap of chasing a setup as well, which does happen. But you see it happening.
Here's my point. I've talked more in the last 20 minutes about F1 than I spoke about in the previous 5 years, all by last year. That's the point. Here we are having a conversation about F1, about the twos and fros and the what ifs of the sport. And 3 years ago to 5 years ago, I couldn't give a toss. I wasn't watching it.
You want Bernie to put sprinklers down the tracks, don't you?
I want a corner which is like those brushes that they've got on ski slopes. I want it to,
or is it? Or,
I want it to be. I want it to be a 10 mile corner, 10 mile per hour corner.
And we're through Luffield into doormat brush corner, and oh, he's off.
Cork matting. That's what you need. Cork matting round that bend.
I think he got a bit wide.
Or is it a bit like, I can't remember, is it NASCAR where they actually, oh, the race is getting a bit boring, so they stick the safety car out to close them all up?
Yeah.
Well, Just purely because they want to make it more interesting. American, never mind the fact that somebody might actually be easily winning the race.
American sport is all about the television. All the games that you see on American TV, they're crap to play. They're no fun whatsoever. They're fun to watch, nothing more.
Disagree with that. Baseball is a lot of fun to play. But I know we call it girly round us in on the British Tech Network, don't we?
Nine innings of someone throwing a ball at you can't see. I don't think so.
You can still whack it for a home run.
The race. Any highlights?
Yes.
I've got one.
Well, we've all got one, I think, and I know what it is.
Which is?
Go on, Steve. You have yours first, mate.
The camera.
Which camera? Yeah. The slingy camera.
The camera.
The zip line one.
The zip line camera.
It was good.
That's the best in the world. That shot.
Oh, I didn't see that this year.
They've had it before, though. They've had it on other tracks.
I still have not seen another track that has organised itself just to have several corners that the cars are going around at that speed and the zip line travels at just the right speed to catch a Formula One car going on various curves around at the same time. I love the maths of it. I love the dynamics of it. I love how sweet it is. It makes the race look amazing. And the camera alone makes it much better watching it on TV than probably being there in person.
Yes.
And it also got caught in a lot of the other shots across the track. You just see it sort of winding back up for the next run as well, quite a bit.
Yeah, you did see it on the low shot and the into Beckett's, I think it was, where he was pulling back across,
And that was another thing. It seemed to be a lack of helmet cam this week. That's the other sort of camera innovation they've had this year, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I think the in-car camera stuff was quite noticeably absent because there wasn't a lot going on. There wasn't a lot of overtaking, which is where it comes into play. There wasn't a lot of contact, which is where it comes into play. Outside of Kobayashi, I mean, he probably had the most contact in the entire race, didn't he? This is Mr. Kobayashi, who entered his pit lane like an old girl looking for the last space in Morrison's on a Saturday morning, and took
it was his miles out.
Yeah, I mean, stuff a sticky back wheel nut.
It wasn't like, even close.
I'm sorry, fellas, but don't screw with me again. There we go. that was just before. That was just after. I've shown them in the wrong order. There we go.
Doesn't matter. We saw it.
How to pit and took two people in the hospital.
Yeah, and Kamui was fined $30,000.
Really?
Was that by the FIA or by his team?
So 50 quid.
Chris?
Yeah, the Mexican dollars, yeah, that's about £40, £45, isn't it?
Chris, was that by his team or was that by the FIA?
It would have been by the FIA, wouldn't it? They just love to fine people. If you speed down the pit lane, it's like a $3,000 fine, isn't it?
Yeah, or do donuts at the end.
Plus a drive-through.
What's going on?
Yeah, well, Lewis was doing that, wasn't he?
Yeah, because Jake Humphrey had told him on the BBC bridge, oh, you can do donuts at the end, I'll pay the fine.
That's right.
And he did null as well, which is great. So has Kamui worked out how to respawn in the middle of the track now?
like a game, yeah.
Next time, he's got a new innovation for the car. It's like a green shell that he just sort of chucks out in front of him.
Well, he doesn't do it by half, because the picture I'm showing at the moment is Kobayashi as well. Yeah, I mean, he's a good 2 foot up in the air there.
No wonder he's got no downforce. His ride height's off.
Exactly. But what I love about that shot is the fact that he's looking in the direction of travel and he's turned the wheels like, when I get down, I'm off. Yeah. And he doesn't realise he's doing a 360 as soon as he hits the tarmac there.
Whenever I see Kamui on screen, I brace. First of all, for impact, and secondly, for an overtake. And when he does it, I always go, Kamui! Because he's the most exciting Formula One driver. Mm. The most exciting.
The Kobayashi Maru.
Yeah. I like the way you said
brace. It is interesting to watch, isn't it, though? Fantastic to watch.
I like the way you accurately said brace three times.
Yeah.
Right, yeah, like it's a real crash.
Like real crash, yeah.
Yeah. Depending on the speed, I will put my head between my legs and kiss myself goodbye. But then I'll carry on watching.
I heard you charge for that, Doug.
that's for the after show, sir.
Okay, right there. Mm. There we go. Mm. I mean, any other saving grace of this torrid effort of a Grand Prix? Because I hated it.
Maldonado?
Which,
having another of his moments?
He's grown an ego, hasn't he, since he won?
Mm.
Definitely.
Dodgems.
Yeah, I actually thought that the only decent overtake or sort of nip and tuck was between Alonso and Hamilton on lap 19. I don't know if anyone remembers that.
Yeah, it was a bit to and fro, basically.
It was a bit to and fro, and it was about the only bit of excitement that I thought was worthy of a magic moment.
Well, I mean, that's the point. Apart from Kobayashi crushing two of his pit crew, I don't have a magic moment.
Mine with Alonso and Hamilton.
I have a magic moment, but it was not a track magic moment.
What was your magic moment then, Chris?
And it's 5 lights, 4 lights, 3 lights, 2 lights, 1 light, and it's go! It's great.
You're remarkably close there, dude.
Even if he was just talking about how the rain is really boring. But it was great to see him again.
It was. Not dead yet.
And didn't he make it onto both sides of coverage, BBC and Sky?
Of course he didn't. BBC man for life, yeah?
As did Coulthard. Mm. Bumping into...
Yes, on the pit wall.
Yes, yeah. That was awkward.
But hello, DC. I'm not allowed to talk to you.
BBC people are used to bumping into Sky people just before it was Sky Germany. That's the only difference, really.
Yeah, because the only thing that saved him was the fact that he didn't speak German. So Tanya did jump in on one of Martin's interviews.
Yeah, he just barged her out of the way half the time.
Yeah. Any magic moments then? So Sarah's picked hers. I've picked mine. Anyone else got anything?
I think I share mine with Sarah.
Steve, go on then, mate. Steve, talk us through the beauty of it.
Well, no, I had the camera. That was my magic moment. And also in the first lap, Button. Was he 16th? And he got to 12th in the first, I think it was half a lap.
Yeah.
And he had an amazing start from his position. And I had real faith in him at one point that he was actually getting on and working through the traffic. And also Hamilton was getting there, but just didn't have the pace in the end.
He lacks something else as well.
I mean, Grosjean had a really good race, considering he went pretty much back right to the back and then still, finished where he did, which was sixth.
I fought for Paul de Resta as well.
It was right behind his teammate who'd had a good race.
He got absolutely walloped, though, didn't he, de Resta?
Yeah, I felt for him because he would have been well up for that race.
It was quite interesting that on the first interview, he wasn't even aware of what had happened. And we'd seen it by that point on camera and the replay and actually seen it. And he wasn't even aware of it. He said, I didn't even know what happened to me. All of a sudden, just lost pressure on the rear tyre.
Yeah, he went out very early on. And it would have been nice.
The first corner.
Yeah, it would have been nice to have seen him take it on.
Yeah.
The only one who didn't. You know, he didn't finish ahead of him with Petrov, and he, you know, basically lost it on the
well, Petrov it wasn't lost it on the warm up lap.
He didn't even start the race.
So Mr. Webber won. He took the podium and celebrated with champagne. Did a jump that was something like he was a hobbit.
Ah, the precious.
And, he's off to New Zealand next week for filming.
Right, and
what on earth is Ken Clark?
I was going to say, is that Ken Clark?
It is Ken Clark. He awarded the winner's trophy.
What the bloody hell has Ken Clark got to do with F1?
Well, he's on a jolly.
He's the minister for whatnots, isn't he? You know,
he's a minister for F1.
What do they call it? Expense fiddling.
And Mr. Hunt.
Controversial.
If you want to sue, his name's Christopher Woods.
I bet he's on a Santander.
Allegedly.
Link.
Santander, yes, he's chairman of Santander or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jeremy Hunt was also there, Minister of Culture and Sport, and he was the one, he awarded one of the trophies, I can't remember what it was.
Yeah.
He's a Secretary of State for Justice, so it was a just result. So
there's the tish. Windrider says, all is what Ken Clark was doing there. And Paulum said, Ken Clark just would not bugger off.
They were kind of gesturing to him, weren't they? To, you know, you've had your moment now, just...
Ken, you've come dressed for a cricket match. It's wholly inappropriate. You need a sou'wester now, bugger off. What I want to know in that picture is where the bloody hell are Mark Webber's legs? Because they look like a pair of matchsticks.
He looks like a grasshopper, doesn't he?
That guy looks like a Biafran. I mean, he has been starved solid for 10 years to get to that kind of level.
I believe they've sewn him into his race suit.
You think? Spray on race suit.
It's a new cost-cutting innovation.
Paul in the chat room says, there's a man in every pub that's like Glenn Clark.
Yeah, the only thing that missing was his glass of scotch.
Only Witherspoons.
Sure, he was wearing his hush puppies.
And so Webber won, Alonso second, Vettel with a very sneaky little pull-up in third and not tell anybody. It's kind of like he bumped someone over the head and snecked onto third in the podium. But the end result being that Alonso, and I've stolen this from the F1 site, I do apologise, Alonso is sitting there. He's got still a healthy lead over Webber in second. Vettel in third. Hamilton in fourth. Still not out of it. Raikkonen doing rather well considering he's not really had much of a shot at the podium apart from once. Rosberg, Joubert, Grosjean and Button all well down. And you've got to say that at this point, is it turning into a three-horse race or has Hamilton still got a chance to kind of poke his nose at the line?
I still think it's four.
Just the four?
Yeah.
No, Raikkonen.
I wouldn't bank on it. I think it isn't. Lotus are not going to be long before they get a win.
Serious?
Oh God, yeah. I mean, you know, think about it. Was it Canada or was it the European where Grosjean, if he'd stayed on, if he hadn't had that alternator problem, he would have won the race. That's absolutely,
right. Grosjean by right should be in front of Raikkonen by now.
Yeah.
So you know they have been the most consistent team, and I'm not sure exactly where they are in the constructors, but they are doing very, very well. They are the most consistent team. The other teams have all got one driver that is actually really good, apart from Red Bull. Webber's actually doing really well at the moment, but they are going to get a win, and then I'm not saying they're going to run away with it at all. That's not going to happen. But they are going to start scoring some serious points.
Yeah, and I do think when they do get the win, I wouldn't put the money necessarily on it being Raikkonen, because Grosjean's had some really good form lately.
He's
really impressive. I mean, he's definitely my impressive driver of the year that's come from nowhere really.
Yeah, considering, you know, previously when it was the previous Renault team, and what was it, in Singapore, he replicated Mr. Piquet Jr.'s crashed, didn't he? In practice, you know, it was, you know, so he's kind of, he's come back from that, you know, which was a low, really. Now he's with this, you know, this one with the Renault Lotus team. He's been doing fantastic.
Current Constructors' Championship, then you're looking at Red Bull sitting a good distance ahead. I mean, they got a 70-point lead over Ferrari. Lotus is in third, Lotus Renault in third, and McLaren Mercedes in fourth. And I've got to say that out of that list, it's McLaren Mercedes in fourth that kind of perplexes me a little bit, because apart from that, yes, they've had two wins, admittedly, with Jensen at the start and Lewis at Canada, but you would have said that they hadn't performed well enough to have taken that kind of level. You've had them down five or six.
They should have had more wins, though, really. I mean, a lot of it had been problems in the pits. Pit stops that sort of ruined their races. Because it's not like the speed had ever been there in the car.
Yeah, I mean,
this shows how good Lotus are doing, though.
Very good. This is the point. They've got two consistently good drivers at the moment.
They're close to second.
They're not winning, but they're, you know, consistency is what makes you know can win championships.
I mean, if you're hitting points, you know, you're hitting fifth and sixth in most races, you're going to score reasonably good points. That's what they've shown. Yeah, I mean, the interesting one for me is Force India. Have any of you seen the interview with Paul de Resta with Natalie Pinkham? They keep replaying it on the Sky Channel, but I mean, he's sitting there saying, you know, last year we finished sixth in the Constructors' Championship. Our goal is to finish above sixth this year, and it's been hard because Mercedes, Sauber, Williams, they've all brought strong cars to the party, and we're probably, as Force India, not going to make sixth unless we pull our finger out. And lo and behold, here they are at eighth, and you would have expected them to have improved on last year's result. And it's not, you know, that those other teams have stepped up to the plate. And that's what's brilliant about this year in F1, is that other teams are coming through.
That's right. That's shown by the number of different winners we've had.
Yeah. And they've all had a moment in the spotlight, really. You know, Williams, you know, Sauber have been fighting for a win. You know, Mercedes have been up there and thereabouts. You know, they've all had that moment where, you know, where they've had that. And I haven't really seen that from Force India yet this year.
Yeah, I don't see them. I mean, I can see Lotus winning before the season is out, at least one race. But I wouldn't say that there's any chance for Force India doing that.
Chris, you're showing a graph of some description there. Is that intentional?
Yes, it is intentional. I want to show you something amusing.
Go for it.
And
at the moment, you're showing nothing.
There's a little bit of a disparity in performance. I think you would agree, like there was last season. This is a graph from F1 Fanatic.
Right.
And it shows gaps between each driver on every lap. Now, can you guess? By the way, higher is worse. Can you guess who's at the top?
Sorry, what is it again?
Can you guess who's at the top?
Between drivers.
If you can't, I'll tell you. That's Nairain Cartikeyan. That's Pedro de la Rosa. That's Charles Peak. That's Timo Glock. That's Heikki Kovalainen. And then down here, we've got Jean-Éric Vergne, which is very unusual. Kamui Kobayashi. There's a real disparity. We're seeing the same teams again and again and again. And I'm slightly worried because they're all really optimistic that they're going to do well. And yet, there's just no improvement.
But
and
what's interesting, put the graphic back there, Chris.
Put the graphic back. Hang on. That's not it. That's not it either.
No, that's very interesting to me because, first of all, Kartikeyan, as I would have said, as much as it hurts me, has outperformed Marussia, and yet you're actually saying Timo and Charles have done far better. But when you get down into that bottom half there, what that indicates to me is the fact that the separation between those is not the drivers per se as much as the teams.
Yeah,
it's the machinery.
It's the technology. So, you know, if you look at the guys there, those top, you've just laid another one over the top there, which has confused it completely.
Yeah, I know.
But get rid of that one. Get rid of that one.
You want them all off? I'll turn them all off.
No, just the first one. Put the first one on, dude.
Oh, God.
Okay, here we go. He's showing the keys. Put them on one at a time. Come on.
Okay, we'll get there. Put Jensen Button on for a laugh. Pastis kind of skews it a bit because he did really poorly in the last race, but you get the idea after a while. Sergio Perez, Timo Glock.
If you look at these bottom two, three there that go down before you hit the real high teams.
Good.
those are guys that have are clearly performing lap by lap. They're doing well with the technology that they've been provided with. But what you would suggest is that a movement towards a higher graded team would probably see them compete far more for the podium. It's the team separation that's the issue there.
Yeah, and this is the problem. And I do wonder whether a cost cap is actually going to resolve this, because if there is a fundamental lack of historical knowledge building these F1 cars and access to better equipment that, you know, for the same amount of money that they've got, I mean, you can only do so much with CFD. You have to have facilities. And I still don't think a cost cap is going to solve this problem.
Yeah.
Because you've got teams using old equipment, old technologies.
To be fair,
it's just a blunt instrument, isn't it, Chris? Yeah. That's the thing. Yeah. Just saying, we cap the money. That's, you know, that's not going to solve it. I can see that.
And as much as they say that there is stone walls between McLaren and McLaren Technologies, all of those technologies are owned by McLaren Technologies.
Yep.
I mean, we've had the point as well where other teams have been sharing resources as well, haven't we? Like McLaren have been
fire extinguishers.
Yeah.
Yeah, that kind of stuff you don't mind.
Yeah, but no, wasn't there one team that's using McLaren wind tunnel as well? One of the lower teams?
Most of them are. I mean, Marussia used the McLaren wind tunnel, and they've got a 1/50th scale model that they use to test components, and it's extremely expensive for them because when they manufacture it, they have to make sure that they've got to manufacture, say they want to do three wing tests, they've got to manufacture those three wings accurately in 1/2 scale, and then they've got to take them down and test them, and they've got to test all three. And that's an extremely expensive process for them. And with the best will in the world, there's a little element of me sits and thinks, I don't believe that the cost that's going out to Marussia for using the wind tunnel is exactly the same cost as that which is given to McLaren for testing. Now, that's where the budget cap and the budget change seems to be the biggest discrepancy between the teams. And I'm not sure that capping actually does change that viability and liability of cost on teams, because, you know, McLaren Technology, I'm sure, will give preferential rates in the end. And as Chris said earlier on, it could be a massive factor.
Is the cap for everything, as in American football have a salary cap?
Well, you're
talking, it's a
turnover cap. No, it's a turnover cap. From the way I understand it, they're talking about a turnover cap. And at the moment, Marussia's total turnover expenditure is 60 million.
So. It's going to leave us in an interesting situation, isn't it? Because we are going to have Division 1.
Well, you already have that, though, don't you? I mean, at the moment, one of the problems that Marussia's got is that they have no room for and weight loading for KERS. They don't want KERS because KERS, the benefit that they feel they'll get from it at the moment is outweighed by the weight and load that it'll take on the vehicle.
Yeah.
So they don't have it. That's simple as that. So
is there a plan down the line for that, though, to develop, you know, include that later on, or is it, you know,
I think,
is it a permanent stance?
No, I think there's space in the car because it's internal, but they've got nothing at the moment that says that they want to have it because it's expensive, it's bulky, it's weighty.
And the benefit would outweigh all of that.
Yeah, I mean, they have to carry equivalent weight for all the camera technology, but they never get given any of the cameras because for the onboard stuff, because they're so far down the tree. They just don't have it. The cameras are only provided for the top half dozen, if that, 4 or 5 teams. Plain and simple. You know, if you race, what you would hope is the next race that we're getting, which is in a couple of weeks' time, it's the German Grand Prix. It's Timo Glock's home track. In the steering wheel, where you can look for rev limit and mixture limit on the mixture of the fuel. They said that we would only let Timo probably have that for one lap in the whole of the German session, because it's his home track. Well, you'd expect Timo Glock to qualify extremely well next week in Germany. And if he doesn't, well, I mean, my question would be, well, what's the benefit of home track then, Vantage? You know, this guy's driven around this track so much, he clearly knows it like the back of his hand. There's no question he knows the lines in and lines out of all the turns. What's the differential between the two? And it's got to be the technology on the car. You know, when can I apply KERS, DRS, etc., and that's what's separating the teams. But the beauty of that is the fact that the tyres have been a leveller. dead interesting.
I wonder if it's going to rain next weekend.
It's Germany. It's Germany. It's going to piss down.
Yeah.
We hope.
All right, Mark Webber to win them. Okay.
Well, who actually, that's an interesting question, because, I mean, global warming, etc., and the current trend is that there is going to be a few extra showers around the European Grand Prix. Who's the better wet weather driver at the moment? Is it Webber? Always used to be Moss, didn't it? But
I don't think it's so in the gods in terms of what tyres on, isn't it? And now I don't think anyone's come out as a particular rain master. Look at Schumacher. No. Hamilton. No. What?
Apart from Jensen.
No.
Yeah.
Well, let's not forget. Schumacher qualified P3 for Silverstone in the wet.
Yep.
Indeed.
And had a dismal race outing, but Schumacher likes Hockenheim. Well, and he's German as well. Yeah. And Mercedes need to make a good showing of it, because... Yeah. Can't imagine that Mercedes AMG is too happy with results so far.
No.
Not this year, no.
New engine for Hockenheim, maybe? Give it a bit of the old right foot?
They can't. They've got their engines already. And they're all tagged by FIA. They cannot create a brand new engine. That was
we know they allocate races through the season, though. You would have imagined that they would have allocated a new engine for the German race.
One of the fresher ones.
Yeah, when they've got lots of Mercedes staff and important people there, you would think that that's when they're going to want it. Yeah, I totally agree.
Their five engines are provided. They are all tamper tagged, so that you can't pull the casings
apart. But they can pick and choose which races they use them for the first race.
Yes,
okay, pedant ranking, a fresher engine.
No, I agree. They're going to get a new engine, but then you're never going to get the situation again of Honda going back after a race loss and saying, let's make a brand new engine in 3 days and make sure it's ready and send it out and test it so that it's ready in 10 days' time for a Grand Prix and that we absolutely kill it. I mean, that's the whole point of why they've got it. Mm. And those engines are all tamper tagged. They are all sat there. They've got five engines sat on a shelf. You can use them when you're ready to use them, but they have got to last you the entire season. And if you're changing it, you're changing it because it's knackered. You're not changing it because you feel like it'd be the right time. Because otherwise they're scared to death. That's the point. You know, you have no control over the fact that you take someone who slides off into a barrier and twists the engine frame. Because if they twist the engine frame, they break the tamper tag. That means that machine is gone for the rest of the season. And you've got a new one instantly the next time around.
I imagine they'll stick a fresh engine block in for the race, and then they'll use it for free practice in Singapore, and they won't care if it blows up at the end of the session.
Maybe.
Because they'll have planned it like that anyway.
Maybe. I mean, they're talking about the rev limiters on these things. The items will do up to 24,000 RPM at peak performance, and that's their limit. And they'll never let them past 18. They reckon that Timo will get up to 20 probably for one qualifying lap at Germany. And if he doesn't make it, that will be it. They'll be back to 18,000 RPM, and that'll be it.
Do you remember about 5 or 6 years ago, and there was a race, and during the race they had cockpit, I think it was T-bar, and they had the rev counter on the screen, and whoever was driving got it to 20,000 revs, and Brundle went crazy because it never happened before. It's never happened since.
Mm.
Never been seen on TV again.
Yeah, I mean, most of the engines on the steering wheel, they're capped. That if you put them onto two, the setting two on the wheel that I showed the other week, that's kind of 18,000 peak, and they won't let you anything past that.
It's kind of sad, really.
Well, it is, but apparently from what they were saying, if you let it go to full mixture and full rev limit, then basically you can knacker an engine in three laps.
Make it more exciting.
Whilst they're built to be able to do that, they're not built to perform for the longevity, isn't there? So, you're talking about one engine has to last four races, minimum.
Not suitable for doing
And it won't. It won't last five laps. But that
you could have, hey, you could have mixed five replaced with a turbo boost button, and that would make it fun.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing that was interesting as well was that they were talking about get the drivers out there. It doesn't matter if it's aquaplaning. That means that they have to drive slower and that's the end of it. And one of the key points was these guys won't drive slower. You know, you can't put these guys, their mentality is to go out and drive like lunatics. Yeah. You can't put them in a car and say, take it easy.
Yeah.
And that's the point, is that unless you give them threshold for that rev limit, they will take that rev limit every time and they will not then that, you know, that you, mm. you'll have engines popping. They'll go through five engines in an entire weekend, which is what used to happen.
Mm.
But Honda didn't care because they'd produce a brand new engine if it didn't work and they didn't win. We've gone on long enough.
Dogs and cats on the roof again.
It is. It's raining hard. Where can we get a hold of you, Mr. Blunt?
I'm at tone_720 on the Twitters.
Good man. And you've gone really big for some reason in the screen.
Camera keeps doing that. It's been fine for a while and it keeps doing that again. I don't know
kind of
why.
Big brother scary.
Mellow man is coming to attack.
I think it may be due to a recent upgrade of the Skype.
Oh dear. And Mr. Clothhead HQ, no longer Steve Neighbour now. Where are you, mate?
That's mad, isn't it? That's what we needed in Silverstone.
That's the noise of rain against a Velux window.
Yeah, just drop that in the middle of the race. We've already heard that this weekend. That'll make it exciting. I am now Steve Neighbour on Clothhead, which is NayBour.
Steve Neighbour on Twitter. Jolly good, sir. Ms. Gray?
You can get hold of me on Sarah Jane UK on the Twitters.
Or down the pub for the crack.
Oh, yes, I might be. I'm having a glass or two now.
Totally good. And Christopher, where are you, sir?
At Christopher W on Twitter. And if you're on Google Plus, it's gplus.2/Christopher Woods because nobody ever talks to me on Google and I'm trying to use it.
And you're only around the corner, mate. You should come for tea more often.
This is, just around. Yeah, as Joe says, 4 minutes away. Yeah, that's right.
Literally.
Well, you have invited me, so I must take you up on the offer.
Come around and have tea, Russell.
I'll have to bring house gifts and food and things. No. I'll bring a spread.
Bring yourself and we'll do a live show from here. You can be on the big show.
Oh, yeah, that'd be good.
What are you doing tomorrow night? Do you want to go on the big show?
Yeah, I'm good. Yeah,
9 p.m. 8 p.m. even. Be there. 8 p.m. Big show, you're
sounds
in.
Sounds good.
Right.
Be there or be square.
We'll be back in a couple of weeks for the German Grand Prix. We'll be back with a big show tomorrow night. We've got all the stuff from the Bash is up and running. And also, we've got the banner back up for donations to the network. We get nothing from advertisers, so if you could give us a few quid here and there, we only spend it on stuff for the network. We don't spend it on beer. We've bought a whole video return system, which we still can't get to work. But what I have learnt today through arguing with Joe DeMax on Twitter is that the Mac I've got actually runs two graphics cards, and I'm running three screens in front of me here. In fact, actually, I'll pick my camera up. Look, and I've got three screens running off the OS X. There we go. There's Chris. Look on the laptop. And it's absolutely stunning and dandy. And that kind of stuff is what we get with the donations. We don't spend it on beer and food and wine and frivolity and that kind of thing. So if you can, please give us a donation. Some of you have been giving donations, but they've come to an end because you've put like a 6-month limit or something like that. So you need to refresh them if you want to carry on. But cheers. Thanks ever so much. And also UK2.net are the people that we rely on most. They are the ones that keep us afloat and stop us from going under. And if you can, please support them. Go to our website, britishtechnetwork.com, and click on their link. And there's a whole load of codes that are on sponsorship tab at the top right, and they'll get you almost a clear basket depending on what you've bought. So please support them because they look after us terribly, terribly well. Thank you very much to them. We shall see you in 2 weeks' time for Germany, and we shall see you for all the usual shows tomorrow. Tomorrow night, I'm on Tech News Today, so with Tom Merritt and Sarah Lane and Ayaz Akhtar and Jason Howell. So do look out if you're around UK 6 time. PM. UK time, 6 PM. Yes. So see you then.
So can we come in the chat room, can we?
Come in the chat room and stir it up. Like Goodens. Why do I think that you don't need that kind of incitement? Jolly good. Thank you very much. See you next time.
Good night.